This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Tuesday the 23rd of April. In your Squiz today, retracing the Anzac steps, rumbling the rioters, fingers crossed for another surplus, and it's time to trust your GPS. This is your Squiz today. PM Anthony Albanese is in Papua New Guinea this week, Siobhan. It's been called a symbolic visit because it coincides with Anzac Day on Thursday. So to commemorate that date, Albanese's hiking part of the Kokoda Track.
Yeah, so he's doing that hike today and tomorrow and camping along the way. He's not the first Aussie politician to do it, but he will be the first sitting Prime Minister, so it's quite notable. And he's going to have some company because PNG's Prime Minister James Marape will join him for parts of the walk, and that will give them plenty of time to talk business. Now, Albanese's visit comes off the back of a big security deal that was signed between Oz and PNG in December, and reports say that Albanese wants to keep talking about strengthening our relationship with PNG and other neighbours in the Indo-Pacific.
Yeah, and that's topical because Albanese's visit comes hot on the heels of a visit from Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi over the weekend. And Siobhan, we've spoken about this before, but China's been looking to assert itself in the region, so that's why Wang was there.
That's right. And according to PNG's foreign minister, the pair had some, quote, very positive meetings that included hashing out the details of several new agreements between the two countries, such as increased trade and communication and $1.7 million in disaster relief funding. But for Wang's part, he took the opportunity to make it clear that Beijing isn't happy about the AUKUS security pact and its focus on security in the Indo-Pacific region.
Yeah, he said it creates division and that Pacific Island countries aren't the backyard of any major country. He also urged other nations to not interfere in their domestic partnerships. Siobhan, Erin Patterson has appeared in court for the first time in 5 months. And if you can't quite place that name, she's the woman who's accused of killing 3 people with a death cap mushroom-laced meal back in July last year.
Yes, Patterson is accused of murdering her former in-laws, Don and Gail Patterson, and Gail's sister, Heather Wilkinson, with that lunch. And she's also facing 5 counts of attempted murder, most of which are related to previous attempts to poison her estranged husband, Simon. Now, she wants her committal hearing, which would test the evidence against her, to be in a local Gippsland court. But Magistrate Tim Walsh said that that might not be possible until next year.
Yeah, so he's adjourned the case for 2 weeks to give him time to decide if it should be moved to Melbourne to get her trial started sooner. He told the court the delay seems to be getting a bit out there. So we'll have to wait and see when that's scheduled. It's been over a week now since Bishop Mar-Marie Emmanuel was allegedly stabbed by a 16-year-old boy in a terrorist attack, prompting a riot outside the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley in Sydney's southwest. And yesterday, Siobhan, New South Wales police released photos of 12 men who were wanted over that riot.
So this comes as Strike Force DRIBS has been set up with 50 investigators and 60 officers dedicated to finding those responsible for the violence that left 26 officers injured and numerous police cars damaged. 3 men have already been charged, but police say around 50 people in that group of 2,000 who showed up had the intention to start problems.
Yeah, so what Superintendent Andrew Evans says is that someone in the community knows who they are. So police are doing everything they can to identify them. A message now from our podcast partner, BHP. The steel made from iron ore plays an important role in providing the production of our energy infrastructure, from wind turbines to power poles. So cutting carbon emissions in iron ore production is key. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power its port facilities at Port Hedland. It's happening now at BHP. Siobhan, we've spoken about this a lot in recent months. It's no secret that the global economy is looking pretty shaky. But Treasury Jim Chalmers reckons the government will be back in the black when the budget is handed down next month.
Yes, so Chalmers has returned from meeting with his counterparts in Washington, D.C., and says he's on track to record a second surplus after ending last financial year with $22 billion in the nation's bank account. And he said, and these are his words, "We feel like the first surplus last year, the first in 15 years, was an important way to put downward pressure on inflation, so our objective is still a second." But he's warned that events in the Middle East, as well as slower growth in China and Japan, could still dampen the broader economy.
Yeah, and you can bet he'll be keeping an eye on the quarterly inflation data that's due out on Wednesday too. Experts predict it will show a dip from an annual rate of 4.1% to 3.4%. That is just below the Reserve Bank's 3.5% forecast. My friends will vouch for me on this, Siobhan, that many a time I've found myself arguing with them in the car as we've tried to navigate our way somewhere using a phone GPS. And now there could be a new debate for us about which route to take, because Google Maps has a new option.
It's a very familiar scene, isn't it, Alice? Rowing over whether to trust the device or not. Who knows best? But if you're environmentally conscious, Google Maps is now going to offer you the choice of the most fuel-efficient route. And that's going to work by using artificial intelligence to identify directions that use the least energy, even if they take more time. Now, that is something that Google Maps director Andrew Foster says is designed to encourage drivers to make more sustainable transport choices. But I can see this leading to a lot more arguments, Alice.
Yep, I can too. And if that's not enough, Google also says that users will be politely pestered, as they say, to get out of their cars and use public transport to get to their destination in order to be truly green. I reckon trying to force the kids to take the bus instead really is the fastest route to an argument.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Squeeze the day, Siobhan. What's happening today?
So rugby league legend and Dementia Australia ambassador Wally Lewis is going to give a speech at the National Press Club at 12:30pm Canberra time about his experiences of living with probable chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is a brain disease that's thought to have been brought on by years of head knocks during his football career. Head injuries and concussions are a hot topic in sport right now, so I think this will really be of interest to a lot of squizzers.
Yeah, we also did a Shortcuts episode on Lewis and this exact topic, so I'll pop a link to that episode in our show notes. Thank you for listening today. We will be back with you tomorrow.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.